The prophet Isaiah tells us to sing to the Lord, to give praise to the Lord. Welcome to this service of worship where we gather together to glorify God. As we gather together today, you've probably received word already that this past week, Marie Layton passed away. She was just a few days shy of her 102nd birthday. So we keep her family, friends in prayer. Funeral arrangements are still being worked out, and we'll let you know as we find out more on that. As we gather together for worship today, I invite Lori Christie to come up and share a little bit from the serving team. We've got some opportunities to be able to serve the greater good of community around us.
Good morning, everyone. First off, I just wanted to thank all of you who pray for the people on the prayer list. My good friend Lynn Kay has been on that list for quite a while and was battling skin cancer and then developed lymphoma. But I heard from her the other day, and I just wanted to share with you that keep praying, your prayers work, because her lymphoma nodules, which were the size of a softball in her abdomen, have shrunk. So, glory to God. I wanted to talk to you this morning about the upcoming blood drive on September 9th from 1 to 5:30. We outdid ourselves the last drive 2 months ago. We had 21 people sign up, so thank you for your support for that. And I encourage you to sign up again this month. I don't know if you know it or not, but every 2 seconds, somebody needs a blood transfusion in the U.S. of A. Every 2 seconds. That just blows my mind to think of that. Someone who has been in an automobile accident could need up to 100 units of blood. And when you give blood, it only lasts so long. It's not an endless supply that they just keep storing. It expires. So we need to really be diligent about continuing to donate. Loaves and Fishes will happen on September 10th at the Church of Peace at 158 South Military Road from 4 to 6. If you haven't come to help serve, it's a lot of fun to be with your church family. I see smiles out there from people that have been there doing it. And I encourage you to come on out and see what it's about. We really have a nice time together. It's incredibly organized. It kind of boggles my mind how we get everything done. Last month that we did this, we served 168 people. The need is great, unfortunately. So there's a sign-up sheet in the narthex. Please consider. The other thing I want to mention to you is we've partnered with Woodworth Middle School, and we are collecting donations of clothing. Particularly, they need, I was going to say girls, but it's really women's, sizes 2X and 3X. Black leggings, shirts, sweatshirts, underwear, socks. Unfortunately, there's kids at Woodworth that just don't have. So if you can see your way clear to offering something in that way, that would be wonderful. Also, just to plant a bug, in October, we're going to start collecting for coats for kids. And this isn't just little kids. This is also big kids. And as you may have noted from the Woodworth sizes that were requested, it's great and fun to go get a really cute, you know, size 5 or 6X little girl winter jacket. But there's also larger kids that are in need as well. So as you're going through your closets, doing your fall cleaning coming up, please keep that in mind when you come across some jackets and coats that may be of use to others. Thank you for your time.
Mary Ellen, I believe you have some information to share on growing connections. Were you sharing some information this morning? Okay, I could have had it wrong as well. So had it down in my notes here for today, but lots of different things coming up with growing connections. I will put in a little plug that Darren Beachy is going to be doing a 3-week series on healthcare power of attorney coming up. So lots of good information there. Had the video last week that got quite a bit of conversation going afterwards, talking about that, how many people hadn't really thought about all the different things, the different details that need to be included in that. So looking forward to that. Also this year, our church has a spot down at Fondue Fest. So if you're down there and you're going through, we'll be on the west side of Main Street, between Forest and First Ave, so right in front of Brianna's Bakery. If you're willing to hang out there at the tent for about an hour, we've got a sign-up sheet out in the Welcome Center that you can sign up. We'd like to have some different people there, just being able to hand out some information about our church and be that smiling face that you are every Sunday morning here to let the community get to know who we are. So if you're interested in helping out in that way, please sign up out there. We also have a grief support group coming up. So if you know of somebody that's going through grief, please encourage them. If you've been through it, if you've dealt with grief in the past, or so you think you've dealt with it, but you want to kind of reprocess things, that is a healthy thing to do. Multiple times to go through and to learn from one another and to be able to allow others to learn from your experiences. Great opportunity for that. And we also celebrated the life of Jonathan Pass here on Friday. Keep Linda and Jonathan's family and friends in our prayers as they grieve his unexpected loss here as well. Invite Wendy to come up and to continue to lead us in worship.
Please rise as you are able and join me in the call to worship. With all your strength, sing aloud to the Lord, who has brought you here and blessed you. Our voices shall shout forth praise and thanksgiving to God. With all your heart, reach out in service to those in need, remembering God's mercy in your own life. Our lives shall be witnesses to the love of God, which has been lavished upon us. Come, let us worship the Lord with great joy. To God in gratitude. Amen. Through the ages, O God, you have called to us to follow. You led us to freedom, to hope and peace. Enter our hearts again today and lead us to your healing love, that we might serve you joyfully in this world that you have loaned to us. Amen.
All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yet we are justified by the gift of God's grace through the redemption that is ours in Christ Jesus. Trusting in God's mercy, let us confess our sin. We confess, O Lord, that we love attention. We are pleased when people single us out for something good that we have done, for some outstanding act or trait of kindness that we exhibit. We revel in the light, but the seductive light too often captures us, and we seek its brightness and glory, and turn our backs on others in need. We have been given many gifts, but have failed to use them to help others and to serve you. Let us take a few moments to offer silent confessions. Forgive us our vanity and greed. Heal our wounded and aching souls. Place us again on the pathway of peace and hope that is your way to true life. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our righteousness is found in Christ alone, a gift of God by faith. Beloved people of God, believe the good news. Through the grace of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Hear these instructions from Colossians 3:15. The peace of Christ must control your hearts, a peace into which you were called in one body. The peace of Christ be with you, and also with you. Please share the peace of Christ with those around you. You may be seated. Today's psalm describes those who cherish God and find joy as they follow God's instructions. Let us read responsively Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns from the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honor. The wicked will see and be vexed. They will gnash their teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing.
Our gospel reading today from Luke 14, verse 1 and then verses 7 through 14. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to share a meal in the home of one of the leaders of the Pharisees, they were watching him closely. But when Jesus noticed how the guests sought out the best seats at the table, he told them a parable. When someone invites you to a wedding celebration, don't take your seat in the place of honor. Someone more highly regarded than you could have been invited by your host. The host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give up your seat to this other person." And embarrassed, you will take your seat in the least important place. Instead, when you receive an invitation, go and sit in the least important place. When your host approaches you, he will say, "Friend, move up here to a better seat." Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. All who lift themselves up will be brought low, and those who make themselves low will be lifted up. Then Jesus said to the person who had invited them, "When you host a lunch or dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers and sisters, your relatives, or rich neighbors. If you do, they will invite you in return, and that will be your reward. Instead, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, crippled, lame, blind, and you will be blessed because they can't repay you. Instead, you will be repaid when the just are resurrected." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hello, will the children come forward, please? Do you want to hold Jesus? Would you like to? No, okay. So, do you know what these are? What these are made out of? These are pottery. They're made from clay. Now, have you ever made stuff with clay before at school? Okay, so, yeah. That can be hard because when you make things with clay, you make the little guy, the sculpture, or you make the pot or the plate or the vase, and then it's a long process. So when I was in fifth grade, we had pottery in art class. And it's a long process because you make your pot, and then it has to sit there for like 2 weeks to dry. And sometimes the handle brake falls off while it's drying. And then the art teacher has to take the pot and the pottery and the sculptures to a special oven called a kiln, and they put it in this super hot oven. And sometimes, if there's air bubbles, it explodes, or the head falls off your sculpture, or bad things happen. And if you, the paints, when you put paints on a pot, they look really boring when you put them on the pot. It's only when they go in the oven do you get all the brilliant colors. And you,
it's made out of glass sometimes.
Yeah, the glazes are made out of sand, out of glass. And so you have this glass thing, and you don't really know what it's going to look like till it comes out of the oven. So the whole process, and then they have to take it from the kiln back to school. So the whole process can take a month. So when I was in fifth grade, we had pottery class, and I made a pot. And then a month later, the art teacher brought the pots, and she had one that was particularly beautiful. And I said, oh, that's my pot, the most beautiful pot. I made that pot. I told everyone, that's my pot. Yep, see this beautiful thing? I made it. Well, in art class, when you make pottery, did you put your name on the bottom? Okay, so we put our names on the bottom, and the teacher had said, "This, look at this beautiful pot. This is how we want our pots to turn out." And I said, yep, that's my pot. And we turned it upside down. It was my friend Debbie's pot. Yeah. Oh, it was not my pot. My pot had turned out very funny looking, and it was lumpy and not very pretty. But my friend Debbie, she got to stand up in front of class while everyone said this is her pot that she made. So sometimes it's better not, yeah, to wait until the art teacher says, look, here's Debbie's pot. Then for me, for you to say, ah, that's mine. I'm the best. Yep, yep, that's me. It was so sad. Well, it wasn't sad for Debbie, was it? And Debbie didn't say, Katie, I think you're wrong. I think that's my pot. She just waited for the teacher to say, and here is Debbie's pot. So that's sort of about the scripture today.
Weird pot.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you like a weird pot, but my pot wasn't that pretty. And it wasn't even interesting. It was just sort of lumpy looking. I guess it had character. So, at any rate, so our little prayer for today is, you know, maybe we should wait. So, oh God, thank you for all the things that we can make that are beautiful, and help us remember that maybe we should wait until we see the name on the bottom. Thank you so much. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for calling us to be your children, for calling us to be your people. May the words that I speak, all that we hear, all that we do, may it bring glory to your name. Amen. So today we're second in the series on the kingdom of God. For the next several Sundays, we'll be talking about different aspects of God's kingdom and what it means to live in God's kingdom. Today, it's a kingdom seating chart. We all want to sit right here next to Jesus, don't we? Front row. Most regular churchgoers, we've got our little preferred spot to sit, our pew. I've heard some people, you know, talk about the fact that, you know, the roof is leaking right where so-and-so sits, or, you know, I notice that the sound isn't very good, or that the sunlight is shining in right where so-and-so sits in their pew.
Did you happen to notice who sat over in so-and-so's pew? I didn't get a chance to meet them after worship, and they looked really familiar. We reference our space in the sanctuary by where all of you sit. And then occasionally, you kind of mix it up and change it up and mess things up. That's good. Keep doing that. Years ago, when I was first in ministry, early in my ordained ministry life, I was in a situation where somebody was in that particular pew. They came into worship, and there's this young family that's sitting there in their pew. And looked at them and just kind of stood there awkwardly, and then sat down just ahead of them. And I was up front kind of watching this all play out, thinking, okay, that was a little odd what just happened there. And then we went through communion, and as we finished up with communion, I started hearing from some of the other people. I became oblivious to everything else that had played out, but apparently this person had gone back and sat where this young family who'd come in first time in worship, and they sat in their pew. How dare you sit in my pew? And so the young family comes back, and fortunately the pew right behind that was still open, so they could go in there and kind of reach over the pew and grab all of their items that they had left sitting in what they thought was their pew out of this other gentleman's pew. We got talking about that afterwards, and the family understood human nature and realized, okay, there's something to this, and they became good friends with this gentleman. Found out there was a lifetime of memories there in that pew, and after being alone for a week, Sunday mornings was a time of sitting in that pew where so many memories of worshiping together with his family, kids who had moved away and wife who had passed away. He was reconnecting with them and reconnecting with all of those important memories. This young family kind of felt a little guilty about interrupting all of that. But God used that as a way to bring them together, to be able to give him another little adopted family. Sometimes we put a little bit too much emphasis on our spot. And I think so many times we look at pews and things like that, and we don't really look at them as a place of honor. It's, you know, not so much as if, oh, sitting up in the front pew is the place of honor, the pew of honor, that you want to be closest to the pastor? No, obviously not. You want to be closest to the cross, closest to the communion table. Maybe the back pew is a place of honor, closest to fellowship time afterwards, closest to the bathrooms. There are all sorts of different reasons why different pews might be considered a place of honor, but not really a place of honor. It's not like going to a banquet, a large community gathering where all sorts of important people are going to be. And, oh, you know, if I sit here next to this person, I'm going to look important. Or to sit at the head table at a wedding. Sometimes when I've officiated weddings, they've asked me, hey, would you and your wife like to sit here at the head table? No. That's not for me. That's not our place that time. That's for you. But there are those times that we start looking for a place of honor. And in our world today, maybe a part of that is taking selfies. That, you know, oh, I can get a selfie with so-and-so, some important figure in our life. And that becomes kind of that place of honor, as the banquets were in Jesus' day. Now, I have to admit, and maybe it's more of a confession, that sometimes even pastors fall into this. I was talking several years back with a pastor at large Green Bay church where many of the Packer players worship, and asked him about, you know, how does that work? you know, with all of the publicity and everything, he said they have to work very hard and be very intentional to remind everyone on a regular basis. They're just everyday people. They're here to worship. Treat them like everyday people. Wow, that's cool. That's neat. And then one day as we finished up a family vacation and I didn't have to preach on a Sunday, we said, hey, let's go to this larger church down in Green Bay and nobody's going to know us. We can go in, worship, leave. Went there and I have to confess, you know, it was a really cool feeling to say, ooh, I'm following that gray platinum F-150 driven by Jordy Nelson into the church parking lot. And here Jordy's walking in with his family and we walk in behind Jordy. And yeah, that felt cool. But yet, after that fact, I realized, you know, there in that space, in that worship space, the great Jordy Nelson and me were equal. We were both sinners in need of a Savior, worshiping God. God saw us as equals. Probably the only time in my life that I'll ever be on that same level as Jordy Nelson. But that is what it means to be in God's presence and to worship God. Now, hopefully, you know, maybe none of us, maybe we don't, you know, get in those moments where we want to push somebody out of our pew. I mean, hey, if somebody wants to sit up here, great. I got plenty of room down here. Maybe we don't look for a place of honor when we come to worship. But yet, what does it mean to be sitting in a place of honor before God? In the first half of today's text, we're presented with what probably was considered common knowledge. Jesus shares this parable with the guests at this large banquet. And he tells them, don't go and take the place of honor, because then you're going to be embarrassed when you get booted back and there's somebody of a higher status who gets invited to sit in your seat. You're going to end up like the great late Bob Uecker. Oh, must be in the front row. And then at the end of the commercial, he's way up there in the bleachers. We don't want to be embarrassed like that. I'm thinking most everybody around was like, that makes sense. Yeah, we realize that. Maybe there were a couple of people that went, oh, yeah. Maybe there was somebody there that Jesus was speaking directly to. But then in the second half of it, Jesus talks to the host. He says, when you throw a banquet, don't invite your friends, your brothers and sisters, your relatives, your rich neighbors. I can imagine Jesus kind of going around a U-shaped table where they were all gathered and naming all of these people who were seated in places of honor. And Jesus and his disciples and the other lower folks of the status were all around. He says, no, instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. And he was probably pointing to those who were all around Jesus. To live that kingdom life, to throw a party and hold a banquet and invite the outsiders, the outcasts, the marginalized of our society. That's not the norm, quote unquote, from a worldly perspective. We're used to inviting the who's who, the influential people, the people who have money. Maybe there's been a time in your life when you were throwing a birthday party for your kids and you thought, oh, you know what? We're going to maybe invite so-and-so to come because they've got a really nice house, a pool or a cottage on the lake with a boat. And then maybe our kid will get invited over to their party. And then your spouse is probably like, really? No, that's not why we're doing it. Oh, okay. That's our human tendency, is to try to figure out, what can I get out of this? When we throw fundraiser banquets for organizations, we try to invite people who have a passion for whatever that cause is and who have some sort of means, whether it's other connections or finances or whatever it might be, to help support that organization. And there is a useful aspect for that, but when it comes to worship and being the church, we're to be completely opposite of that. That's where Jesus turns everything upside down. What if we, as a church, were to throw a party and primarily invite people who otherwise wouldn't get to share the experience that we were offering in that? We see stories of this sort of thing, of ways of living out the kingdom all the time. Maybe we don't put those words to it. I've seen stories of people who take out disadvantaged kids, special needs youth, out on the water fishing. They've got a nice boat. Maybe they're a professional fisherman. Maybe they're a wannabe professional fisherman. They take some kids out and see the joy on their face. Maybe pilots taking some handicapped youth out for a flight. For the first time in their life, they're able to look down on people rather than being looked down upon. Maybe it's some of those simple things that so many of you do. Volunteering with Sleep in Heavenly Peace to provide beds so that kids don't have to be sleeping on the floor. Bringing in school supplies so that kids have the basic necessities to be able to learn, to grow into healthy adults. Maybe it's providing food through loaves and fishes, broken bread, serving food at the homeless shelter in the winter. On and on, there are so many of these ways in which we connect with the community. We throw a banquet, even if it's just for a moment, and maybe it doesn't fit in that category of a banquet like we might think of, with a large banquet hall and a magnificent feast of food. And yet, for someone who has nothing, a simple sandwich and some fresh fruit is a great spread of a banquet table. We're called to bless what we would call the outcasts, marginalized of society. We're called to support and encourage those who may never be able to offer anything in return. You see, when we reach out to those who can offer something back, invite us to their party, we're just treating them like a commodity, a thing. And it's not about relationships. It's not about kingdom building. Today, I'm preaching to a whole bunch of honored guests. You each have an honored seat. You're considered children of the King. According to the kingdom seating chart, it's only because of this empty cross that you've been invited to sit in a seat of honor at a great banquet table. The banquet table that is yet to come. What are we to do in return for that invitation? There's nothing we can do. We have nothing that we can offer back to God except ourselves, our lives, and the way we live out our life. We can't throw a bigger party than what God is going to be throwing. We can't outdo God. We can't die on the cross for others. But yet we can sit right next to Jesus. We've been invited to take that seat of honor. Who are you going to invite to your next party? How are you going to make everyone feel welcome? How are you going to choose who gets to sit in what might be considered a place of honor? You can invite others to God's party. Whether it's joining here in this space or rejoining a faith family that they've walked away from, that they've been separated from. You can invite others. You can invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. We are all those people in one way or another. You can add a chair or two to the table at fellowship time. Invite someone to sit down and get to know them. How might the kingdom seating chart change the way that we view places of honor in this world and change our view of who is deserving being invited to the greatest banquet ever? May we learn that kingdom seating chart. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. You're thankful to have Christina as our guest musician today and praise band leading us, singing songs of praise and worship. Invite us to join together in this hymn medley that they've put together.
It is with humble hearts and joyful hearts that we offer back a portion of that which God has entrusted to us to be used to further God's kingdom. I invite the ushers to come forward to gather God's tithes and our offerings.
Keep fighting voices in my heart that say I'm not enough. Every single line that tells me I will never measure up. Then I'm more than just the sum.
Lord, we ask that you receive these gifts that we offer back to you. Multiply them. Use them. Use us to further your kingdom here on earth until you come in your glory. Amen. You may be seated. As we turn to God in a time of intercessory prayer. Gracious God, as we gather together today, we come here thinking more highly of ourselves than we should. Even when we walk in thinking we're humble, that we are nothing. Lord, you lift us up. You treat us as equals. Remind us, Lord, that it's not about what we do in the world's eyes. It's who we are because of you. Lord, we lift up to you those who are grieving the loss of loved ones. We ask that you would be with them. Allow them to feel your presence. Allow them to know that they are yours. Lord, we lift up those who are battling illness, physical illness, mental illness. We ask that you would provide healing for them and restore them to a full life. Lord, be with those who are anticipating surgery. Allow them to have peace as they go into those moments entrusting their lives in the hands of others. And for those who are recovering, give them strength. Lord, be with those who are traveling this weekend. We pray that they would have safety in their travels, that they would make the most of this time together with whoever they are with, reconnecting. Lord, as we go into this new school year, we ask that you be with all of those students, students who are away in new locations, students who are going back to what they believe is a familiar territory. Be with all the teachers, administrators, all of those who help out behind the scenes. Allow us to all connect together. Lord, open the eyes of our hearts that we might see the needs of those around us, that we might pause, that we might take notice of where you are at in their lives and encourage one another. Lord, hear the prayers of our hearts. Hear those groans deeper than what words can put to it. We pray this all in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stand for our ascending hymn, yeah. We Are the Body. as you go out into the world, may you go out into the world knowing that you are the body of Christ. May you be the hands, the feet, the presence of Christ to all those whom God places in your path. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. For more information about us, our phone number is 920-922-0425. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m. Staff nursery is available for 3 years and under.